We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Crew with it now.
There's a high drive left field. It's Marte Maldonado. Martin Maldonado, of all people, a 167 hitter.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the producers here with the bullpen. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. And the disrespect from Joe Davis on the call from Fox saying, of all people, Martin Maldonado hits. Of course, Maldonado hits the game-winning home run in the eighth inning for the Astros last night. Welcome into the bullpen. We're going to get started here on the Astros. Obviously, Thursday and Friday, not great. Astros got dominated by George Kirby, then Hunter Brown completely fell apart. So did Phil Maton. But last night, Framber Valdez does what Framber Valdez does. Goes six, gives up only two. And the Astros offense finds a way to get a 3-2 victory. So right now, the Astros, with one game left before the All-Star break, find themselves two back of Texas in the AL West and up one game on the Yankees and Blue Jays for the final spot in the wild card race. So given all that's happened with this Astros season, Sean, I mean, with the injuries and some of the underperforming starts, obviously, from Jose Abreu and a few others, given that they're two games back of Texas, and as of now, if the playoffs started today, that old trope, they would be in the playoffs. I mean, is this something you're accepting as, you know, I'll take that given all that's happened?
Oh, absolutely. You take 2 days. I mean, think about all that the Astros have had to overcome in this first half. You got Yordan's injury. You got Altuve's injury at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to miss that many games, but he's right. still injured again. You have your starting rotation, which you thought coming into the season was going to be the depth of the squad.
You thought you had six starters.
Yes, exactly. There's too many arms. What are we going to do with all these arms? Yeah. That's why, in general, too much talent is not a problem that any team ever actually has. After all that, and after the just dominant start that the Rangers have got underway the first like 60 or so games of the season, to now just be two games back with 79 left to play, that you're in a very good spot if you're the Houston Astros.
Yeah, it feels like if you told me going into the season that half your rotation's going to go down to injury, Yordan and Altuve are both going to miss significant time, Jose Abreu is going to be one of the worst hitters in baseball history through the first 2 months. You tell me all of that, and RJ, I think I feel pretty good that if they're in this spot going into the All-Star break. If you tell me all that, and oh, they're only two back.
That and also just because of, like what Sean said, I mean, and what you've alluded to also, all that you've had to overcome, especially with these injuries. I mean, at first it was McCullers is going to come back. Now it's McCullers is done for the season. Brantley now has, according to Dusty Baker, plateaued. And then you've had the Yordan injury and the Altuve injury. And you're still only two back of the Texas Rangers. Now, I probably would say for a lot of Astros fans, if the playoffs were to start today and you were in the playoffs, I don't know if necessarily you want to bring this team into the playoffs with the injuries to guys like Yordan and Altuve and stuff like that. You probably would say we need those key guys, even Lance McCullers and Michael Brantley, who you decided to bring back. But it seems like there are some other guys that are coming around for the Houston Astros this season, and it's seeming to pay a lot of dividends of this next man up mentality. So I would definitely take it. My only concern is if the playoffs did start today, I don't know if you would be even favor to even win the wild card.
Yeah.
But, no.
I have to look up off the top of my head. I'm trying to remember exactly who they play. They would be the fifth seed right now. So they would be playing the, they'd be playing the Orioles in the first round. Yeah. Especially if the Orioles have home field advantage, which they certainly would right now. The Orioles are a very good team. I don't want to come out here and completely dismiss the Orioles.
Yeah.
But it's hard as a privileged, spoiled Astros fan over these last 6 years to think, oh, yeah, you're going to lose a series to the Orioles. The Orioles are a very good team, but it's still the Orioles, right? The Orioles.
And just, like, specifically, like, this is kind of the Orioles' first year back in baseball.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
And there's, like you said, there's new rookies on the team. It feels like every week they're calling up a new prospect that's making their major league debut. So I think that in that way, I mean, what are we actually – wait. Are we actually previewing if the series started today? Orioles,
no.
Astros?
No.
Well,
I just brought, you know, brought
Astros, Orioles. Predict the series.
I just.
You know, you got, I don't know. Is Alex Cobb still a Baltimore Oriole?
Maybe. I think Cal's retired, right?
A
few years. He still doesn't have the streak going, right?
Moussino versus
Bromber.
Yeah, I think Miguel Tejada, I don't think he's walking through that door right now. I think that's the positive right now with the Astros, that you've dealt with all these injuries and the underperformances, and you find yourself in a pretty good spot, all things considered. The negative, and let's get to some of this Astros vibe check. Hunter Brown, it's been a rough stretch, and you know, after kind of looking, I'm trying to figure out what, I mean, obviously a great prospect, was good in his short stint in the major leagues last year, started off the season pretty well, and then just recently has fallen apart. So in trying to figure out what's happened with Hunter Brown, maybe looking into the splits and some of the things to see if there's a difference, maybe home and away, or if there's a difference, you know, here or there. It turns out, like with almost everything else with the Astros, it's Martin Maldonado's fault. So when looking at Hunter Brown, his catcher splits, he's had 6 games caught by Yonder Diaz, 11 with Maldi. His ERA with Yonder Diaz, 2.62. Very good. I mean, damn near Cy Young caliber at that point. Man. His ERA with Maldi, 4.98. He doesn't even deserve to be in the major leagues at that point. I mean, it feels like we're banging our head up against the wall with Dusty at times. And, you know, will he play, you know, Chaz over Jake Myers? Will he play Yonder over Martin Maldonado? But when you see something like that, guys, I mean, Hunter Brown obviously was caught by Yonder Diaz in AAA. When he had all that success last season in AAA, he was being caught by Yonder Diaz. It's shown that they do have a chemistry together. Yeah. Isn't this maybe the easiest fix you could possibly have? I mean, just look at the splits. He's got experience with Yonder Diaz. Why not just let Yonder Diaz catch Hunter Brown?
And it's interesting because Martin Maldonado is the king of catcher ERA.
Yeah. That's supposed to be his superhero.
And so it's you know, theoretically the stat that you're looking at to defend playing Martin Maldonado, and then in that same exact stat, Martin Maldonado is getting lapped by
498. I mean, it's not just a little bit. Yeah. It's over 2 full runs worse.
But this is also kind of where we allude to all the time. Dusty's going to trust his guys.
And I mean, speaking of that, Maldi has caught Brown's last 10 starts going back to May 14th.
He's going
to
trust his guys.
Dusty does not care.
Come hell or high water, it's going to be like the, because he even said, I think it was after the loss to, I want to say a loss to the Rangers, where he was talking about this next man up mentality. And then he said, well, we're starting to run out of this next man up thing because of all of the injuries that are happening and going on. I think as many of, quote unquote, his guys that he can keep in that rotation and that he can keep in the lineup, he's going to do. Even if the numbers say, hey, listen, Hunter Brown and Yiner Diaz are a better combination, pitcher and catcher, than Hunter Brown and Martin Maldonado. Don't care. Maldi's my guy.
It feels like very classic old school thinking coming from an old school manager where we got a rookie pitcher, so we got to put him with the veteran catcher because he's got to lead him through the season and just completely ignoring the stats in front of him.
Do you guys think that Hunter Brown, I guess being asked to do more in technically now like year one and a half, like him being asked to do more has kind of affected him a little bit.
I do think there's concern with his workload, because we've seen time and time again pitchers asked to go more than, I think it's 30 innings past their previous career high in innings pitched. That correlates to some bad things down the road. We've seen that happen. I mean, last year's NL Cy Young Award winner, Sandy Alcantara, just pitched an insane workload and has fallen off this year. It even happened to Hall of Famers like Roy Halladay, where he had back-to-back years of like 250 innings in that third season. He just wasn't right because he'd worked so much. So I do think that's an interesting thing to watch down the stretch. And in a perfect world, we'd have the Astros would have a six-man rotation. Maybe you could skip Hunter Brown every once in a while because, you know, we thought going into the season the Astros would have, you know, might be working with a 5-6 game lead at this point. But with the Astros, I mean, as happy as we are, all things considered, that they're only down two games, being down two games doesn't give you the luxury of maybe doing what you'd want to do with Hunter Brown. You got to win games now.
Also, just not having – I mean – with a five-man rotation right now, they're already having to throw in the B-Lacs and, and the Blancos of the world.
And killer bees, obviously.
Yes.
B-Lac and Blanco. I mean. B-Lac and Blanco.
Which, I mean, what, Dana Brown loves Blanco, so it's almost like he's going to stand by Blanco, I mean, no matter what either.
And they've both been solid, but it is the difference between, you think going into the season, those guys would be Luis García, Jose Urquidy, and Lance McCullers.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you thought like JP France, Ronel Blanco, Brandon Belon.
Yeah, I'd even mention France. Yeah. So you're depending on a lot of guys that that are rookies that have never done it, but they have done so far a absolutely from good to satisfactory job.
I mean, JP France, I believe, has a below a 350 ERA, so certainly you couldn't ask for anything more from him. And Ronel Blanco's had his ups and downs, but his loss, the game they lost to the Mariners the other night was not his fault. I mean, he had a pretty good,
literally a quality start.
Quality start, exactly. He had a rough beginning of the game, but he came through, and, you know, he only allowed three runs. You can't ask much more from a rookie pitcher. So, I mean, and that's the thing with Hunter Brown. I mean, if this is a full rotation, like we said, I think you could skip a start every once in a while. Maybe make him go on a sixth day and, like, give him that extra day of rest. But when you got three, you got the killer bees and Belak and Blanco, and then JP France.
Wasn't that kind of the plan? Like, Brown was going to be like six.
Yeah, he was going to be like basically the sixth.
And everyone got hurt.
Yeah, everyone got hurt. We just talked about Urquidy, Luis García, Lance McCullers all get hurt. So you just don't have that luxury. You're not going to skip Hunter Brown and throw in one of these rookies.
Because technically, on the roster, due to active guys, he's what, your third best.
Hunter Brown, absolutely. I mean, obviously, he and Javier have had some struggles, but on paper, he's your third best starter at
worst. If the playoffs were to start today, he'd be your game two starter, right?
Damn right, Sean. Astros-Orioles. Can't wait. All right, we'll get into Astros-Orioles next. No, we'll continue the Astros vibe check next here in the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out for that foot bone.
I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the jaw with my foot bone.
Do you like bugs, roaches, or termites in your home?
No!
John Granato here, and while I'm not a professional bug killer, I know one. His name is Scott McGrath, owner of McGrath Pest Control. They are professional bug killers. Don't let bugs rule your home and scare your family. Get McGrath Pest Control to protect you. Ask about their quarterly service. You set it and forget it. Bugs die, it's that simple. Professional, affordable, and just nice people. McGrath Pest Control. Find them on the web at McGrathPestControl.com. That's McGrathPestControl.com.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. I'm going to tell you this. I had the ribeye steak. I'm telling you, for the price, your ribeye steak is as good as it gets.
We have the best ribeye steak in town with a baked potato and a salad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to do. You spice it up really well.
We do. We season it up good, and we have a secret marinade that we baste it with right at the end of cooking it.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 and 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Hey guys, Joel Blank here. Are you feeling sluggish during these dog days of summer? It might not just be the heat. Your testosterone levels could be low. You need to go to Apollo Men's Health today to get your numbers checked and see if testosterone therapy can help you get your swing back. All you need to do is set up your first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. You're going to find out most major insurances accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And if you mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot on your first visit. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. It starts today. Make an appointment with the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Waymore Silencers, the only one-stop Class 3 NFA dealer with the largest selection in all of Houston, has a truckload of new suppressors from brands like Thunderbeast, AAC, Dead Air, and Silencer Co., plus all the hard-to-find models like Dead Air Sierra 5, Primal, and Sandman, or Silencer Co.'s Harvester EVO, Omega 36M, Hybrid 46M, Sparrow, and the super rare Salvo. Don't forget, Waymore Silencers has one of the only in-house electronic fingerprinting and photo services in town. Best of all, they eliminate all the hassle by filing the NFA Form 4s for you. Waymore Silencers is located at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Again, they're at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Way more selection, way more personalized service, way more silencers. Your one-stop shop for the right to remain silent.
Take a deeper dive into Houston sports stories at SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Big opinions from all our hosts about the Astros, Texans, Rockets, and more. SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Subscribe today. The excitement of Space Cowboys baseball is on ESPN 92.5. Listen to every hit, pitch, and big play of the 2023 season right here on your home for the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, ESPN 92.5.
This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 is the producers here at ESPN Radio with The Bullpen. Sean Mapes, at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. RJ Saunders, at R Has No J on Twitter. And myself, Brian McDonald, at Sack by BMAC on Twitter. And our man, Josh Behind the Glass, can be found at IMJ Chevy. Are any of you guys on Threads yet?
I was going to say, at what point do we start plugging the Threads?
I do have a Threads account. I've sent one. Is it a thread? Is that what a post would be called?
Sure.
Like a tweet?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Threaded it up a little?
I've sent one. I've sent one thread.
It's a single stitch.
Are you guys on there?
Yeah.
What are your early impressions of Threads so far?
It's a lot of brands and like the influencer types being like, what's the time from middle school that you'll like, you know, that keeps you up at night? And it's just like all the like prompts. It's like a whole bunch of prompts. Or it's like all prompt tweets. That's so far
That's been the most annoying thing so far. I've only kind of, I don't know, surfed through it a couple, like twice, the initial time and one more time after that because I saw I had some notifications. But one thing I noticed is when I was on like the homepage, usually on Twitter, you're only going to see tweets. Now, there are stuff that
there's
are...
There's like the For You page.
Yeah, but For You, and then there's the following.
There's going to be stuff that's promoted. You're going to see ads and things like that. But for the most part, it's only tweets from people you actually follow. So it's seemingly, you know, content that's generated for you that you'd be interested in. Whereas with Threads, I mean, I'd only followed like five or six people at this point, so there wasn't a lot to choose from. But it felt like my timeline was nothing but threads, quote unquote, from people I had no interest in that I wasn't following.
So I just opened up Threads.
Okay.
There's like a couple like Astros, Woj, Threads. I keep wanting to call them tweets.
Yeah,
but
no,
the threads.
I guess they're
and
threads.
And then there's
yeah.
one, and then like scroll down to of the people I don't follow. And you only have to scroll like once or twice. It's from at wealth, just at wealth. What is the number one thing on your bucket list? At OTE, what OTE team creates the best NBA prospects? I don't know. The one that had two on them.
The entire
league has zero. Yeah. At House of Highlights, tell me your favorite NBA player without telling me your favorite NBA player. At Hooper, Bull Bull in the background working out with KD, eyes emoji.
Ball.
Like it's all. Are there really? Any Hoopers killing it on Threads? Like it's that's all it is. It's
yeah.
It's just questions from at Overtime Elite apparently and wealth.
How I wish Bull Bull was going to be a Rocket.
Why?
So he can get cut by the Rockets?
No, I think I'd rather have him than Jock Landale.
He does is get cut from teams.
Jock Landale was
good then, like, against Jokic.
When we come back and we say, hey man, we really wanted Wimby, we could say we have Wimby at the house. Bull Bull.
I wasn't expecting hot Bull Bull takes today. All right, let's get back into the Astros. Finish off this segment. Next segment, we will definitely get into some NBA stuff, some of the Rockets Vegas League action, and some of these new NBA rules and ideas, some of which I do not like at all. One of the things we talked about last segment was kind of the catcher splits for Hunter Brown, an easy fix if you didn't hear it. The ERA for Hunter Brown between Yonner Diaz and Martin Maldonado is over 2 full runs worse with Maldi. So it seems like an easier fix just to let Hunter Brown pitch to the catcher he had last season in AAA Sugarland. Similar thing could be said about Christian Javier. We also know he's struggled, to put it lightly, recently. Over his last 3 starts, his ERA is 15.19. Holy Rafael Montero, that is an alarming ERA. And when you look at his splits with catchers, now he's only had 2 starts that weren't with Maldi, but in his 2 starts without Maldi, it was one with Yonner, one with Cesar Salazar, his ERA is 1.63. In the 15 starts with Maldi, 4.71. I mean, and it should be pointed out, when he had the no-hitter or the 6 innings of the no-hitter in the World Series, his pitcher or his battery mate was not Martin Maldonado. It was Vasquez. Christian Vasquez. Yeah. So, I mean, this attachment, I mean, it feels like we're beating a dead horse a little bit, but it's just more proof that this attachment that Dusty has, that Maldi is like the pitcher whisperer or whatever you want to call him, it's just total nonsense.
Well, it really also seems to me that there's, I don't know if it's mental, I don't know if there's an injury that he's not letting us in on, but there may be something like going on with Christian Javier that we don't know about.
Which he has lost some velocity, and that I think can be probably attributed to the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah. And his first full year starting.
But Javier, when he was, other than last season, he's kind of been a guy whose fastball sit around 93. Last season was kind of the exception, and he'd been successful before. So I get what you're saying, and there definitely could be something to that, but I mean, I don't know if you can really attribute it all to Maldi as well. It's probably a mixture of everything, but I don't know if it's all just the drop of velocity, because he's had that velocity before. It's just like,
and you're paying this guy essentially to be what, your second guy.
Oh yeah,
so, you know, Fromber being your ace, but then Javier being your second guy, and with the amount of injuries that you have, especially with the pitching staff, and then now you're relying on essentially what, 3-4 rookies. I mean, if Javier is not Christian Javier, then I really feel like, you know, the Houston Astros could be in big trouble during, you know, the second half of the season.
It's one of those things where I think when these injuries first kind of hit the pitching rotation, I think one of the conversations we had was, well, if, you know, if the Astros can get into the playoffs and throw out Fromber, Javier, Hunter Brown, you know, you only really need 3, maybe 4 pitchers in the postseason, starting pitchers, that is. So, no problem. But now, right now, 2 of those 3 are struggling pretty mightily. And even Fromber Valdez had to have a start skipped because of an ankle injury. I think it really boils down to what you actually want out of Maldi right now. And for me, I think he has shown success in being able to calm down Fromber when he's had his moments on the mound. That's been pretty well documented. So just let Maldi be his personal catcher, and then let Yiner do the rest. I mean, I know.
But the thing is, you can't keep Maldi's bat out of the lineup. They don't win last night.
The most home runs ever out of the 9th spot.
Martin, and you know Dusty's like looking at the media. Dusty's in the post. Oh, but you guys want him to sit, but I need him.
Doesn't it feel like the more we complain about it, like the more dug in Dusty gets?
And I think those 2 different answers he had this week in media availability, where he like referenced like, hey, yeah, I know you guys like all say I hate Chaz.
I
don't know who got that.
And then he was saying about Altuve. He was like, yeah, and you know, a lot of people were asking me like why I was bringing him along slowly. Like, it's like, and he's like, well, we did, and you worry about his
Dusty
leg.
Listening to us right now? Is he listening?
He's
to
got
the
ears.
He's got to. Or yeah, he's got to have somebody who's
Dusty
close.
If you'd like to call into the HRMP listener line, the phone number is 713-780-3776.
It's probably just like, he was just looking at Chandler Rome, just being like, "You MF-er, asking me every day about who I'm getting these golf articles. Days to." Yeah, I think it's just Chandler.
It might be. Yeah, there's actually a pretty good chance that
watch
it's just
out for
Chandler.
Like the big black like SUV, and like one of us are walking, and then
SUV stops pulls and throws up, us into
throws
the
us
SUV.
In the back, and he's sitting down there. I've heard you guys talking, man.
With the toothpick and stuff.
With the toothpick.
Does he have the full armbands
yes,
as well?
Yes. Okay. The pit boss rubber glove.
Y'all better stop talking about me, man.
I'd be interested to see that. I'd be interested to see that. If you do get abducted by Dusty, RJ, make sure to report back. Tell us what he says. So,
yeah. I'll life thread it.
I'll thread it.
Exactly. Yeah. Life threading. Will that be?
No, I don't. You know what, guys? I don't think future. It's going to be.
Over under end of this year before thread is gone.
Oh, I think it'll still be around. I just think
nobody
no one will use it. Did you guys see the thing that you actually have to delete your Instagram to fully get rid of Thread?
No, I don't think you do.
Yeah, people, I saw screenshots. I mean, it could be fake. It is 2023.
I think I saw screenshots disproving those screenshots.
Okay, fair. I might have seen one and not the other. But so you don't actually have to deactivate your Instagram account? Okay, well, that made me feel really old to buy into a picture that wasn't true.
Yeah.
All right, moving right along to Yordan Alvarez.
You see on Facebook?
God dang it. Oh man, I feel attacked right now. I hate Facebook. Anyway, Yordan Alvarez, not a pitcher who's struggling, took batting practice on the field Saturday for the second day in a row. Astros manager Dusty Baker said there's a chance Alvarez could face Jose Urquidy during a 2-inning simulated game on Sunday. Are you starting to feel optimistic the Yordan return could be soon after the All-Star break? Question mark.
I'd love it if it is, but I mean. Now, here's a guy that I really feel
you
like.
You got to be cautious, right?
Here's
the worst
a guy
thing
you
do
bring
is bring
slowly.
Him back and he hurts himself again.
Here's a guy you got to bring back slowly. And, I mean, it was a guy before the injury. I mean, was voted as an all-star, but also could have. I mean, I think if he would have kept the rate that he was going, I mean, maybe you start having him in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to compete with what Ohtani's doing this year,
right.
But he certainly would have been.
In
you
the
know,
conversation.
He might have been two behind. I mean, since Judge is hurt as well, yeah. If he'd stayed healthy, he might be two behind.
Yeah, this is a guy that, you know, you cannot say, you know, at the point of, you know, oh, he feels the slightest bit healthy. We're going to bring him back in. No, I'd rather have him above 85-90% before I think about bringing him back.
And Jose Altuve, apparently, he also had his second oblique strain of the season. He had a right oblique strain in June, a left oblique strain. Just a few days ago, he's on the injured list, but eligible to come back the first game after the All-Star break. That feels like a little bit of an optimistic timeline, but I mean, first the right oblique, now the left oblique. Are you starting to get a little worried that Altuve is a snake bitten here, Sean?
Yeah, with his oblique injuries, is there a third oblique he can?
I don't know if
is there
is
upper, lower, mid,
a mid oblique. If there is one, he'll find it.
Yeah, again. You're always dubious of injury timelines when it comes to the Astros.
Discomfort.
So, yeah, and yeah. I'm willing, like, if it says eligible to return July 14th, and they seem to believe it'll be July 14th, then I'll pencil him in for, like, the 24th. I'll pencil him in for about, like, 1.5 as long as they say it'll be.
He did only miss 4 games last time, so, I mean, a 10-game IL stint would be longer than that, but he also then did come back and re-injure it. So it feels like let's add a little – whatever time he gave him last time, let's add a little bit of time
this time. The All-Star break adds a little bit of cushion to it to where, like you said, he missed 4 games last time. He's missed, what, 3 so far?
Something like that, yeah.
And he'll miss tonight. So he'll miss 4 probably in total. Yeah. And then he'll have a week off.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't have to do anything, doesn't have to travel. There's no pressure to bring him back or anything. There's no, like, natural, like, he's sitting there watching the team lose because he's not in the lineup or anything. Yeah. Like, he just gets to focus on rehab and hopefully rehab and be healthy. And if he needs to miss another game or two, that's fine. I mean, when he comes back, he's going to play, like,
what? Immediately.
He's going to play probably, like, 2 out of every 3 games,
I
or
feel
3
like
out of every 4.
Yeah,
like,
Dusty's still going to. We saw when he came back from the last oblique strain, he would play 2, sit a game, play 2, miss a game. So it'll probably be something like that. All right, we got to get to break. Coming up on the other side of the break, the bullpen to ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We got to get into the Rockets Summer League action and a big game winner from a second-year player and hoping to make a big stride in year two. That and more on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh? Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. And work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text KICK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now, and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text KICK to 321-321. That's KICK to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
The official tequila of the PGA Tour, Maestro Nobel, welcomes global golf superstar Jon Rahm to the family as their new golf ambassador. Take it from me, Lance Erline, and golf sensation Jon Rahm, Maestro Nobel tequila is outstanding. Resulting from 11 generations of tequila mastery, Maestro Nobel offers several varieties, each with different flavor profiles. Discover Silver, Reposado, Humido, Añejo, and Diamante. Perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail, you'll truly enjoy Maestro Nobel tequila.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
GiveMeTheVin.com now has 40 offices around the U.S. 40. We did $2 billion in buys last year. $2 billion with a B. Because we pay the most, we're easy to deal with, and we take care of you, the customer. That's why we have 4 stars, the highest rankings of any car buyer. GiveMeTheVin.com dominates. Why? Because we take care of our customers. They don't call me America's best car buyer for nothing.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVin.com. So easy you can do it in your
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, we talk about residential so much, but what about businesses on site taking care of whatever they need?
So we are really excited that we are the only coaters in the region that have a laser technology. We do work with a lot of the high-end hotels, even mid-range hotels, restaurants, HOAs. For example, if we do fence panels and stuff like that, we will bring the laser. We will go ahead and remove rust. We can remove the current coating. If there's any type of welding that needs to be done, we can do that as well.
You're taking care of a lot of businesses in our area.
Yes, you drive by the aquarium downtown and you see the Ferris wheel. We've done those bases. We've done the carousel. If you go to the Woodlands Waterways, we are starting a job out there with their light poles. A lot of the HOAs, whether it be Katy or Richmond, we are out there doing on-site for their fencing.
HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Whatever it is that you have metal that you want to keep and make it look great, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He has him open. Throws one up in the air. Smith caught it for the win. Oh! An improbable Summer League opening victory for the Houston Rockets.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. That audio courtesy of ESPN, the Rockets Summer League win from Friday night. We'll get into that right now here on the bullpen. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Ryan McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. If you have any thoughts on what we talked about with the Astros and what we're going to get into here on the Rockets, please give us a call on the HRMP listener line. Phone number you can get that at is 713-780-3776. So Jabari with the game winner on Friday night. Most improved player. Let's put him on the list now as the favorite, right?
I mean, he was the most improved player in that game.
Yes, he was. The first half, the second half.
The first half, he was a bust.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So help me out here. I was on Friday night. I had to run the Sugarland Space Cowboys game on 92.5, so I didn't get to see this game. I'm looking at Jabari's stat line, 33 points on 8 of 18 shooting, basically 50% from 3 as well. So this is a tale of two halves, because if I'm looking at the stat line without seeing the game, that looks – pretty damn impressive.
I think he had
a 29-point second half.
Wow. Yeah,
I was going to say, I think he only had like
four points a half?
Yes.
Or a half?
4 points, not great shooting. And then, yeah, in the third quarter, because at halftime, that's the like, ugh.
Especially because
Amon Thompson looked good, and we'll get to him later. And then on the Portland side, both Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson all look good. So there's four like kind of blue chippy prospects in this.
And one of them was standing out like a sore thumb.
Yes, it's stinking it up like Victor Wembanyama. But and then in the second half, I think he scored 18 points in the third quarter. It was ridiculous. I mean, it is summer league, so he's playing guys that are going to be playing in like, I don't know, countries that we can't point out.
Guys that are spots 10 through 12 on the roster.
Yeah. On the G League roster. Yeah. I cannot stress to you how much it's a who the hell are these people summer league game.
Which would make a 4-point first half even more alarming.
Exactly. When it comes to, I'm glad that Jabari had the second half just to like, calm everyone down when it comes to summer league, because I feel like the first like three or so games being this game and then the Wembanyama game, and just it really showed like the overreaction, how much we overreact to these things, where Jabari Smith had one bad half and one awesome half, and now we're like, look at him.
Look,
Rockets are in good hands. And so I think to just a reminder to everyone out there, do not take these games that serious. Trae Young looked like he should be pumping gas during his summer league.
I don't know, Sean. I think
Josh Selby looked awesome in his summer league.
Awesome in his summer league.
Their careers have gone wildly.
I would have to disagree. I think this show us that Jabari Smith is now greater sign Paolo Banchero. That's what this game shows us.
Pencil him in for 33 points a game.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. Listen,
and then Tari's going to give you another 20-10.
Forget most improved player. I think he's going to be in the MVP running. I think that's what
Cam Whitmore, rookie of the year, with 14-11.
Honestly, the most surprising thing, we have audio from Jabari.
It wasn't that game.
So many young guys.
The most surprising thing for me, looking at the game afterwards, and we have audio on this, his explanation is why. But I was initially surprised why a blue chip prospect second year player would even be playing in Vegas. Let's hear from the man himself. Jabari Smith, why are you playing in the summer league?
I'm 20 years old, you know what I'm saying? Like, why wouldn't I play something big? You know, we were 20-26 last year. I don't feel like I'm in a position to just sit out, you know what I'm saying? My rookie year wasn't perfect. It wasn't great. So why not get out here and get reps and play with refs, play with my new teammates, play with my new coaches, and just get a feel, you know what I'm saying? I feel like any second-year guy should feel open to play just because of the opportunity, you know what I'm saying? You get to play in front of the refs, you get to play in front of the crowd. You get to play a real basketball game against NBA players, so you usually don't get that here, so just take advantage of it.
No days off for Jabari Smith, I think, is what he basically told us there.
What I love about it is I think this is also going to help him, because the biggest thing, at least that I've heard when it comes to Jabari Smith, is this guy's a leader. And, you know, he has a lot of leadership potential. He has a lot of leadership qualities. And I think in this summer league, with him having young guys here, like Amon Thompson, like a Cam Whitmore, I mean, instead of just saying, you know, let these guys just run it, I mean, my spot on the team is solidified.
Right.
This can also be a moment for Jabari Smith to also work on those leadership qualities. So not just to play, in my opinion, but this can also be somewhere where he can kind of be, you know, like another voice. And when we get to the season, you know, and Ime was there in the crowd, and maybe Ime sees that in him where he can say, listen, this may be, you know, after Van Fleet and Dylan Brooks, this could be the third voice in the locker room for me. I mean, you know, I've also said Jeff Green will probably be a big voice. But
he's on a one-year deal.
Exactly. Yeah, as far as the young guys, though,
That are playing, yeah. I mean, you know, Jabari Smith could be that third voice for you.
I agree with that point, RJ. It's a good one. And I also think there's value here. I mean, two of the guys you hope are going to be on this Rockets roster as a part of your core, you know, 3 years from now are obviously Amon Thompson and Cam Whitmore. Yeah. So you're getting experience playing with them, getting to know them a little bit better. So I think it's valuable time there for Jabari. And like you said, he had a decent rookie year. Certainly he was better in the second half than he was in the first half, but it doesn't hurt him to get more shots up.
That's part of it. It's like, well, if we're saying that second year guys that averaged 13 points a game on 40% from the field. Like, if those guys are too good to play summer league, then like, what are we like? Is
yeah,
this,
why
is,
even have?
Is this
it?
Is this just rookie ball and last chance you for these guys? Like, like no, dude. Like, he did say the right things. He is going into it with the right attitude, but also like the fact it's a question of why a second year player who really did not do that much in the actual NBA. I mean, it's not like he won Rookie of the Year or anything.
Right.
Like, Paolo Banchero was...
Yeah, Paolo's not playing, but there's a reason why Paolo's not playing.
Like,
Paolo, he established himself.
He's also the best player on his team.
And he proved it. Yeah, he proved it. The other player that, of note that I think we've got to talk about, obviously being Amen Thompson, the Rockets' fourth overall pick, played 28 minutes, got hurt towards the end of the game. I mean, not majorly hurt, but enough to leave the game.
It's like a two-week ankle sprain.
He stuffed the stat line. I mean, looking at the stat line, reading the box score and trying to make a take off of that, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 4 blocks. That's a very Gerald Wallace type stat line.
Whoa, Wallace, what a name!
Yeah,
I
love Gerald Wallace. Him play, he was always somebody that I tried to get on my fantasy teams. But I mean, obviously, Vegas league, you know, grain of salt. No. But what'd you guys think of Amen Thompson and his performance in Vegas?
Both of the twins, but we hope to have the better twin in Houston and Amen Thompson. Great feel for the game. And, you know, that's kind of what I look at. Now, they're still, Amen's going to be very raw in some areas. And like Sean has alluded to, I mean, you're playing in summer league against guys that are not named, you know, best defender in the league.
They're guys that are wearing number 67. That's
right.
Who you're playing.
Like, you're not playing guys that are, you know,
that's the best
that you're
going
to see, like, every night, every other night. You know, like, these are guys that are fighting for roster spots or, you know, like, you know, we're going to have him play just to see kind of where he fits in with the team because we brought in some new guys. But for this guy to really have not played any sort of, like, Division I ball or play overseas, and there were questions that essentially he's just played high school guys that were younger than him, you know, it may be a problem. Amen, that's a very great game for a guy who I felt like was in great rhythm and has a great feel for the game.
Yeah, and Summer League... really what you're looking for, and we touched on it a little bit with the Jabari Smith stuff, is like just a guy that if you're going to be a top 5 pick, a top 10 pick, like you should look like a different dude compared to like most of the guys out there. And so
at least out athlete them.
Exactly. Like you should just look like you are just a better basketball player than most of these guys. And he did show those flashes, and he was affecting the game really all over the place, like you said, with the 3 blocks, 4 steals to go along with
on that
points.
I mean, tell me what you guys think of what you saw on the court. Obviously, again, level of competition it leaves, you know, some unknown there. But 3 steals, 4 blocks, I mean, everyone talks about obviously his size at 6'7", his wingspan, how he might end up being the best athlete on the Rockets roster. Even if Amen Thompson obviously doesn't come in his rookie year, he's obviously not the starting point guard, probably not expecting him to shoot all that well year one. That was one of his red flags. He did make a 3.
So it looks like, at least from this box score.
He's a great shooter.
It looks like, at least from this box score, maybe he could be a plus defender in year one during his minutes on the court. I mean, if he's 6'7" out there and that type of athlete, guarding one.
Yeah. He can at least be a second unit, like, disruptor and just...
playing passing lanes.
Yeah, just a guy who just makes bleep happen out there. Like, that's for the 16 minutes of game that he's playing. Yeah. It's that you just go out there, you're a big body to throw on some guards, play the passing lanes, get deflections, you know, help defense, that kind of thing. And he showed a willingness to do this, again, on a court where he's probably like the third best player. So when you fast forward that to the NBA, when he's playing with not only Jabari Smith, but then he's also playing with Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, Sengun, like he seems like the type of guy who will understand like what his role that he's bringing when he's out there on the court will be. And if he's doing that in summer league, where again, I would kind of completely understand if he's just like going through the motions on defense, like just kind of locking these guys up with no sweat. But no, he's actually like, he was playing hard, working hard. And so the way that translates to the NBA, I think he'll only do that more so because that's what he's mainly going to be focused on. He's not going to be running the offense.
I do think that, not to, you know, take it and run way too far, but seeing a guy that tries that hard, as you guys are describing, in summer league, I think is a good sign of somebody that's going to...
Because you can see the guys that aren't trying hard in summer league. You can see the guys that, wow, not a lot of assists coming from this guy. The summer league assist totals are something special. Because...
Well, I mean, also kind of like to your point with him being 6'7", because wasn't there a report out there that the Rockets, yes, they did, they signed Aaron Holiday. So I'm going to assume that your two point guards, at least for now, are going to be Aaron Holiday and Fred VanVleet. You may be playing Amen at the two, behind Jalen Green.
With that size, he can play three.
He can play up to the three.
He can play up to the three.
But I think when he came in,
you were thinking like he was going to be the point guard of the future and like Fred was going to be that bridge, so he'd be playing behind Fred. But you may be trying to give this guy maybe a couple looks at the two.
That they're having a willingness to experiment and see where he best fits. Because, I mean, depending on what he shows as a shooter, depending on what he shows an ability to lead the offense, maybe they do move him to the two or the three down the line. But, I mean, it's one of those things that it's a small thing. But, I mean, every player that hits, those top four picks – one of the things you always hear about him is just the sickness they have for trying to be the best at all times. So hearing that he tried that hard in the summer league game is encouraging.
He's down with the sickness.
God, that is an old reference, Sean. She disturbed? You're quoting?
Wow.
Good. Okay, we got to get to break on that note. ESPN Radio 97. I did not expect you to quote disturbed today. That is throwing me off. I don't even know what to do here, but we got to go to break. 713-780-3776 is the HRMP listener line if you have any thoughts on what we talked about with the Rockets or the Astros. We've got more on the NBA when we get back. We got to talk about this in-season tournament that I just absolutely hate and some of the new rule ideas that the NBA is trying out in Vegas. All that and more on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com Tiger Friendly Radio.
About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off. I can give you your money back or I can give you a rain check.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here. You know I'm a numbers guy, and I like the numbers that Daspit Law Firm is putting up for their clients. The super team at Daspit Law handles a full range of personal injury cases, and they are getting results from their clients in big numbers. Car accidents, truck accidents, industrial accidents, construction accidents, maritime accidents, offshore accidents. These are all areas where if it's you or someone you know, I encourage you to get a free case review from John Daspit with the Daspit Law Firm. Call 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Now
at Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the best gear from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping is more convenient than ever at academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in, plus easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find our widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at academy.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your Best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
John Granato here with Dr. Kane Linville of Hair Specialist Houston. It's such an easy process. I did it. You do it too. You're a client.
Yeah, I'm a client of myself, I guess. I've done it like 3 times. It's super easy. I'm a big wuss, so if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Is it affordable?
Yeah, it's very affordable. I keep the price on the very low end of the market. I like to do it. I have no reason to jack the price up. I like to have it be a benefit for the listeners. Just love to have guys going out there that are happy and confident and living their best life.
Get your free consultation now at 975hair.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now. to get away and get treatment.
800-208-5187. 800-208-5187. 800-208-5187. That's 800-208-5187.
Is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Ryan McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. Find us on Twitter, not Threads, at SackByBMAC, at RHasNoJ, at Sean A. Mapes, and at IMJChevy. I have a thread, but I couldn't tell you what the handle is because I forgot it already.
I know mine. I know it shares
the same name as my Instagram account, but I've got like 12 lifetime posts on Instagram, so I don't remember what it is.
Somehow, Mapes Sean was not taken.
Really?
And I took it.
Okay. Hey. All right. That's not bad.
I got my name in reverse.
Yeah.
Like it's on a government document, but I still got my name.
Mapes, comma Sean. I'm assuming the comma's not in there. So the NBA finally made something that they were rumored to do for a long time a reality, and have even announced the dates and the groupings of the teams. The in-season tournament, fulfilling Adam Silver's hope to bring like a European style to the NBA, has happened. It's happening this season. And the Rockets, there's six groups of five teams that make up this kind of group play World Cup style,
and we're breaking format. Down every matchup there.
Exactly. We obviously broke down Astros Orioles earlier in the show. Now we got to break down how the Rockets match up with the Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, and Mavericks in their group play. No, but basically it's kind of like a World Cup style. You play in a group play like a round robin, then you advance from there and go into a knockout round, and eventually the championship game will be played in Vegas. I guess the incentive for these teams to actually, you know, try here is that the winners, the players from the winning team will take home $500,000 along with the NBA Cup. I guess that's the trophy for this thing.
Yeah, it's gotta work on name. Gotta work on name.
Yeah, it's a little unimaginative. It goes down from there. If you're on the losing team in the finals, you get $200,000. Semifinal players get $100,000, and quarterfinal losers take home $50,000. I mean, RJ and I were talking before the show. I mean, a guy like Fred VanVleet, he's obviously not even the highest paid player in the league, but he's around, what, $40, $41 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he care about $500,000? I mean, the top NBA players aren't motivated by this amount of money. What's the motivation to actually give it their all and try to win this NBA Cup or whatever they're calling it?
Yeah, I mean, you could just say, like, on every team there is the guy that is only making like 500, so like they can just double their earnings and stuff, and maybe that it's a little bit of like, hey, win one for Quinn Cook or whoever. Yeah. You know, whoever the
LeBron, I'm gonna need you to win this one for me.
Yeah,
man.
Whoever the 12th guy,
this is important to me, man.
This is important.
Yeah. I got bills, I got kids, man.
And just, you're also just depending on like the natural like competitiveness, because like all the group games are all just going to be regular season games. They're not adding any different games.
Okay, so that was one question I had. So how much is actually added on to the schedule?
I think only the teams in the final four are playing an 83rd and 84th game. It might even only be an 83rd game for the final team. But all these games count towards regular season games.
Okay.
So that's part of it. It's like,
that's good. Because when I first saw this, it's like,
they're not stopping the season.
Yeah,
they're not stopping the season to do this. It's just, they're just folding. Basically, on the broadcast, you're going to have Craig Ackerman go, and remember, folks, you know, this one's going to be big in the playoff or in the play-in tournament. Or no, in the in-season tournament standings as the Pelicans, who are without Zion Williamson, face off against the Houston Rockets next on AT&T Southwest.
I just wonder. I mean, because
the motivation, right?
Because you also have it to where, I mean, you know, I think there's like a cash incentive for those who make the All-Star game. They haven't gone hard in an All-Star game.
No.
Since 2020, and unfortunately, I mean, Kobe had to pass away in order for you guys to go hard in an All-Star game. Hate saying it that way, but that's what happened.
No one's going hard in the All-Star game since Kobe passed.
Nobody's going hard in the All-Star game.
You need someone else to die.
How many bodies do we need?
How many?
Like, so, I mean, my...
Who's got to go next?
I can't.
I was going to
That's my Mount Rushmore plus one. Who needs to die for you to take the All-Star game? No.
Martyrs for the All-Star game.
Rest in peace, Kobe. But I'm just wondering, like, where's the incentive for a lot of these guys to play in this quote-unquote play-in tournament? To me, this is what it feels like.
I think it helps that it's a regular season game.
The NBA wants to see, and this is why they have even the Summer League in Vegas. They want to see, like, you know, how many fans and, you know, stuff like that, because they haven't had an All-Star, well, they haven't had, like, really NBA play, like, regular season. 07? You have to go back to 07 when they were in Vegas?
Yeah,
like,
I couldn't tell you.
I think they
That's when the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that they want to, you know, just kind of
like check testing out the market.
Check this out, and then in the next couple of years, they'll say we're moving, like we're going to have a team in Vegas, and you know, so this doesn't look like this is a thing like more basketball because this is what everybody wants. This is kind of like let's see just how many people will.
I mean, I don't think any far and wide. I don't think any well-established player who's done anything as far as winning titles or making deep playoff runs is actually going to care about the NBA Cup, but. But if it is a part of the NBA regular season, and then I guess I missed that detail, then at least you're not – is this maybe a sneaky way for Adam Silver to try to prevent or try to incentivize teams like sitting a bunch of players during the rest days?
It's a little bit
– you're not going to rest player if it's an in-season tournament
And
game.
It's also, again, just a little bit of just say like – and remember, folks, this one has a little bit more implications. Yes. Like that, yeah. Just
this
like
is not just a Tuesday in November. This is also an in-season tournament.
Yes, exactly. This is for pool play and pool B.
Pool B pride.
Also, there's going to be a KJ Martin revenge game in pool B. There'll be a Jeff Green revenge game. do you want me to keep breaking down?
Yes, please. Yes.
Please break this down.
Grant Williams is going to play his old coach, Ime Udoka in group B. I think that, I mean, for the most part, like, if you're not watching December regular season basketball, like this isn't gonna get you to watch December regular season basketball.
I can't imagine this is a boost in TV ratings.
No, I think it's just something to try, and Ed, honestly, go for it, whatever. Like,
I think there could be a boost maybe for the championship game. Yeah, I was gonna say
like you see like with the play-in tournament, like even if these teams, like even if it isn't the you know, Denver's, Golden State's, LA's of the world, like going super hard in this tournament. You see in the play-in tournament where if you just say this game is single elimination, like it is interesting. Like teams do start trying for single elimination games.
I mean, and also,
late in the regular season too. So there will be like they're not gonna rest guys in like the semifinals and stuff. It'll be like you know when the. When the Rockets play the Clippers in Group B play, like, I don't know if that would be a reason why Kawhi would come back and play that game as opposed to sitting the next one. Yeah. But if anything, it makes the fight for Group B even more intriguing if the good teams aren't trying.
The craziest thing for me is, so they say the 7th through the 9th is supposed to be what, the semifinals and the finals? Or mm-hmm. The
7th is the semifinals, the 9th
is the finals.
And then in just a couple weeks, you got the Christmas Day games. Which I feel is going to have, like, the Lakers.
Yeah,
it's
going to
have
time.
Like, the Knicks. It's going to have the...
There's enough of a gap there.
But do you really think, like, those guys are going to say, listen, we're going to play this game, and then we're going to turn around and play Christmas?
Yeah, like, why wouldn't they? It's 3 weeks apart.
3 weeks apart.
I feel like they're not. Like, they're going to say, off? Like, which one... in this respect. They're going to say, which one's more important? Winning, like, a play-in tournament championship or a Commissioner's Cup championship or playing in Christmas where everybody's honestly going to be watching? Well, now with the NFL not playing Christmas as well, I mean, you have competition there. But
I think you're putting more importance on the Christmas Day game than it needs.
I love the Christmas Day game.
Well, I know, but I don't think NBA players are like putting like, man, I got to circle this game. I have to be ready for this one.
December 10th. From December 10th on, I cannot try because I am
gearing up. I got to save LeBron my James. Legs for Christmas.
For 3 weeks.
LeBron James.
Quickly, before we go to break, just – quick thoughts here. The NBA Board of Governors apparently is expected to vote on July 11th to approve a couple new rule changes, those being a possible foul against flopping where teams could get a technical free throw, and also rewarding coaches a second challenge if the first one is successful. Thoughts on those two rule changes?
The coaches one, good, whatever.
You should kind of more NFL style, yeah, where you get two, and then if you're successful, you get
yeah,
third.
You shouldn't get penalized, basically, no. for being right on the first one.
I think they should just have two, or so, maybe even more. I mean, so I get you don't want to slow the game down, but
that's
why not?
That's why they limit it. But the flopping one, they'll call it a couple times
you
early
know what this
in the season.
Like? This feels like when the NFL tried to do the pass interference.
That's exactly
thing.
What it is.
It's not going to work.
No.
It'll
help for, like, you know, for the in-season tournament up until Christmas, and then they'll just kind of stop calling. Like, it's like a point of emphasis, and then they'll de-emphasize it.
Well, it's one of those things where unless it's just the most obvious flop.
Too. They're really just stopping the horrendous ones.
You'll stop those, but the average flop, you're not going to be able to tell a guy's intent. No, you can't look really at a video and tell a guy's intent. So I think it's probably not going to be – it's not going to do as much, I think, as we would hope it would. All right, that'll do it for this hour here on the Bullpen when we return on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of high praise being heaped towards Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. We'll hear from Texans left tackle Laremy Tunsil and another former Ohio State player who had lots of nice things to say about C.J. Stroud. Does it mean anything? We'll get into that next. ESPN Radio is at 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.